The Evening News letters page continues to be a lively centre for discussion. This week saw opposition to pylons and masts, more discussion about bus passes, and a very understandable complaint about parking meters. The first letter comes from Ian Spratt, who is a councillor for Mulbarton and Stoke Holy Cross, and is horrified at the proposed scheme to put in pylons and cables from Norwich to Tilbury. Not for the first time, voters in South Norfolk may wonder if Westminster politicians view them as second-class citizens. The proposed scheme of 50-metre-tall electric pylons and cables sending green energy from Norwich to Tilbury is an absolute abomination. It also compares very poorly with what is happening elsewhere in places such as the Cotswolds, parts of Wales, the Peak District and Dorset. Electric pylons are being removed, not built. And north of Norwich, underground cables are being used to bring the energy south. Homeowners within 300 metres of the controversial HS2 railway project qualify for some recompense. National Grid tells us that local residents will receive no compensation unless there is a pylon in their back garden or that they can demonstrate that their house is blighted. Sadly, this problem begins and ends in Westminster, but there are grounds for hope. Shout loud, protest and campaign, because those in charge will have no option but to listen. I therefore encourage voters to fight the current National Grid consultation on two fronts. Firstly, write to your MPs, National Grid and senior politicians with your opposition to the pylon scheme. Support the cheaper, better offshore ring proposal instead. Secondly, lobby for better routing of the pylons in case they go ahead, because the power should go under our beautiful Waveney Valley and not blight our magnificent countryside and historic buildings. Or, better still, it should go offshore.
The controversy over bus passes continues. Last week, we had a letter suggesting that bus pass holders who can afford it should make a voluntary contribution every time they take a bus. Marcus Moore from Spryston does not think this will work. With reference to Enid Erkin's letter on concessionary bus pass holders making voluntary contributions when they use the bus, yes, a voluntary contribution sounds a good idea, but not each time people board the bus. Furthermore, concessionary travel passes are not in regulation before 9:30 a.m. I know several people that hold a concessionary travel pass and board the buses before 9:30 a.m, where a minimum fee of £1.70 is paid. If a concessionary bus pass is misplaced, there's a £10 fee for a replacement bus pass. Also, some of those that are eligible for a free bus pass may not acknowledge one and through means of choice also operate a car.
Tony Vale from Wyndham sees the rumblings from County Hall about cuts to the bus pass regime as ominous. As a bus pass user, I feel the rumblings coming from County Hall about the costs to local councils of this useful facility are rather ominous. Apparently, it's down to a lack of adequate funding by central government that local authorities can't balance the books. What a great opportunity to get residents of one Norfolk town visiting another, thereby providing potential to support shops and eating places in that location. With Norfolk Day, July the 27th, on the horizon, let's all hop on the bus and support the shops.
GP Brown of Beauthorpe Road in Norwich suggests that the county should stop providing free transport to bus pass holders from other counties. But he does not note that if that happens, Norfolk residents won't be able to use their bus passes outside the county. The pensioner bus pass has always been a huge subsidy to the bus industry and has propped up passenger numbers, doubtlessly to the delight of Transport for Norwich, trying to justify their persecution of the private motorist in favour of buses. When introduced, the pass was intended to help people get to the shops, hospital, etc., within the Tier 1 local authority area that council tax was paid in. It then was expanded to become a nationwide pass, with stories in the press of journeys being made from Land's End to John O'Groats using the pass before being trimmed back to the individual four home nations. If hard decisions have to be made, it is not time that Norfolk County Council and other administering authorities are once again not involved in funding journeys by those living outside its council tax area. The saving on funding leisure travel by those from outside Norfolk is likely to be substantial.
Our last letter this week is from Doug Fulcher of Hillside Road in Thorpe St Andrew, and he is undoubtedly not alone in his horror at the increasing difficulty of paying cash to park. I haven't used a pay-and-display car park for years. Not since I used to visit the underground park at Chapelfield in Norwich, now Chantry Place. So, as a matter of interest, when visiting Great Yarmouth last week, I took a peek at one of their ticket machines on the new marketplace. It was well known that car parks, bus fares, supermarket goods, many other items can all be paid for using the latest mobiles by simply pointing the mobile at another machine. But one thing is usually missing on the other machine, the slot for a pound or 50 pence coin. But my mobile is an Apple 4S. The guidebook for which tells me that it is the world's best-selling smartphone. But alas, it is now 12 years old and well past its sell-by date. However, it's no use if I point it at a card machine and expect it to pay for anything, and I wouldn't want it to. For that is where the credit or debit card comes in useful, and I get a proper receipt too. So, Great Yarmouth, back to your machine on the marketplace. Where is the slot for my £1 coin so that I can pay to park my car? It appears to have been forgotten, or is it just hidden from my tired old eyes? And here is Gaynor again to introduce our second set of news stories.